increase your productivity, increase your profitability by 33% by just increasing your awareness around this incredible construct around almost everything that you do in the business.
Hello and welcome to the Remarkable CEO Podcast, a show dedicated to chiropractors who want to transform their job into a business so that they can have a remarkable practice as part of a remarkable life, not instead of one. With your hosts, Dr. Pete Camiolo and Dr. Stephen Franson.
What's up, Remarkables? Welcome to another episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. I'm Dr. Stephen Franson.
And I'm Dr. Pete Camiolo.
Hey, it is Thursday afternoon, and we are in the studio getting ready to rock and roll, psyched for the conversation we're about to have today. If you're tuning in, lucky you, we are going to teach you how you can increase your productivity, increase your profitability by 33% by just increasing your awareness around this incredible construct around almost everything that you do in the business, right? So today we're going to be unpacking this concept of the debrief. It's the post-huddle around everything that you do to make sure that you're really harvesting all of the fruit, all of the gold, Dr. Pete. Super excited about this conversation because it lives throughout our businesses, all through our day, all through our week, all through our month, all through our year. Every opportunity that we get, man, we love to plan and prepare. We love to execute. But on the backside of this, man, there's so much opportunity for us to go harvest all of the fruit from this, all of that energy, all of that investment, and mastering the debrief construct in our business.
The power of the debrief. I'm just super pumped for this. Imagine leaving 33% of the meat on the bone. You know, we'd say in my house, we tell you, you're not done. Get back in your seat. You're not allowed to clear the table until you ate it all, right?
Look at all the chicken on those bones. Come on, kid.
You can't leave 33% of organic free-range chicken on the bone kind of thing, you know? So, Dr. Stephen, I'm excited to talk about this because I was inspired actually in the last few weeks as we've come off of one of our immersions, which we did here in the U.S., the team building immersion. And I love meeting with the CEOs who have attended afterwards, and the discussions and conversations are so rich afterwards. But then I sometimes think, like, is that just getting lost in vapor? Like, is it coming out of your mouth right now and then nothing happens with it? Like, what actually happens after, you know, an event? What actually happens after a shift? Like you said earlier, this is the post-shift huddle for everything in your business. So we are inspired today to have a conversation around how to really maximize productivity in your business. And it's possible, and in many ways probable, that you're losing 30% or 33% of the value that you could be capturing in the productivity. So with that said, Dr. Steve, I want to bring everybody back to a construct that we teach, which is called the APPEAR process. Okay, so the APPEAR process, in that process, the purpose of the APPEAR process is it's a what we call a manifestation formula, which essentially says this: that which you intend to, that which you envision, that which you desire, that outcome you're pursuing is going to increase in likelihood to be achieved, to manifest, to come alive, to be experienced if you follow a process. So it's the APPEAR, APPEAR. So it's assess, which is actually looking back of what we, how did we do that event last quarter, last year, last month? How did we do? Right? It's the assess. It's the looking back discipline of using data and intel to help inform the decisions you make moving forward, right? That's wisdom, right? So that's the A. Then it's the P, which is the plan, okay? So we plan. That's the second step. So once we have the assessment, we go into planning stage, where now we're beginning to put together the plan for what we want to accomplish, what we're trying to accomplish during this next shift, this next event, this next fill in the blank. So we begin to plan. And then from the once we have the planning stage completed, now we can begin preparations. Okay, so we put together a plan. Now we can assign, you know, accountability to everybody. Okay, what are you going to be doing? We assign roles and responsibilities and all that. And then we move forward, we go. And then we begin preparations. And that's the third step in success in the manifestation in this APPEAR process, in this formula. Then it's the execution stage. So that's when we're in the midst of it, right? You're putting on the conference, you're putting on the event, the dinner workshop, you're running the shift, you know, you're doing the Better Results Faster workshop or the advanced workshop, where you're running a patient appreciation week, whatever it might be. Okay. You're executing. And then at the end of that, instead of just doing one of these, like a sigh of relief, like, wow, man, that was
on to the next thing
over and moving right on to the next thing. It's actually a discipline of another A in the appear process, E-A-R. That A after the E, between the E and the R, is there's an A. We're focusing on that right now. It's the assess or the debrief. And like Dr. Steven said, we just lumped preparation, execution, and then the debrief. If you miss that one A, that's literally 33% in many ways of the equation of productivity. And I'm inspired today, Dr. Steven, and have this conversation because coming on the heels of an event for us, where we invest so much time, energy, focus, money into putting on an event, to imagine the scraps that get left over at the end to debrief the event. It could be unfortunate. Now, we as an organization have recognized, and thank you for our awesome team. If you listen to this, thanks team for
That's right. thanks,
helping
team.
Gather us together so that we actually do a really thorough debrief where everyone's voice matters. So it's chime in. So everybody has a chance to chime in. So we got full buy-in so that when we make decisions that come out of that, it's based on intelligence so that we continue to get better each and every time. And that's the way our business experience should be. It should continue to get better every single time, every single quarter, every single year. And the power of that is found in the debrief.
So I love the fact that you just celebrated our team and just another successful immersion. We didn't, you know, create a lot of fanfare around this, but that was our 30th immersion, which is spectacular, right? So, you know, we have an incredible team. We have a world-class team, and we have a world-class tribe. And that tribe's made up of our clients, our coaching clients, the other attendees, and our success partners, right? So we just have this amazing tribe of people, like, all together, and the tribe comes together, and it's a spectacular, it's, dare I say, remarkable experience every time. And without fail, 25 people come up to you and say, I don't know how you do it. These get better every time. This conversation is about how we do it. Okay. So this is how we do it. Number one, thank you. Right. So thank you for recognizing that, because that is our objective. We want to be better every time. Right. So perfection is not the goal. Progression's the goal. Right. So we're always trying to get better. Right. So, and we have a team that's our spirit. Right. So it is absolutely the DNA of everybody in the Remarkable Practice team. Right. So what we know is the key to our success is the fact that we have this process where we have the pre-event meetings and planning and preparation. We have the execution at the events with great intention, following our plan and our process with the built-in agility to adapt readily and appropriately to the stressors that invariably show up at the event. And then the third component of that, which is so critical, is the debrief. It's the follow-up meeting and meetings, right? So the follow-up meetings, which we just came off of the other day, it's like, this is key, guys. And we've been doing it since the first one, right? So we're 7-8 years into this now of throwing these events. There's a before preparation, meetings, and planning. There's execution. And then there's the follow-up debrief, right? And in the debrief, these conversations are all about, hey, what were our goals and what were the outcomes? How did we do, right? It was, what are our takeaways? Everybody. And we actually have a document, Google document that captures categorically what was everybody's takeaways. Start doing this, stop doing that, do more of this, do less of that. We want to do kill lists and keep and kill lists so we know exactly what we're going to take into the next event, right? So we want to capture that when it's fresh and new and everybody remembers either the joy or the pain associated with the experience at the event. The wins and learns, it's really important. It's like, we don't win or lose. We win or we learn. What did we learn from this? And we keep getting better. And then, of course, there's action items. Do what, by whom, by when. Dr. Pete, the debrief is something that has been the key to our just these initiatives, right? So just the immersions themselves. But we do this with every single thing that we do inside of the business. We did it with every single thing inside of the practice. You know, you and I both were talking before this show. I mean, from the big things like taking your team to the immersion. That's a big, you're taking your team to a big seminar, right? That's a big investment, time, energy, focus, and money. all the way down through your events in your office, all the way down to your daily, sometimes twice a day, post huddles, right? Everybody loves to do the pre-huddle to set up the shift, and then we love to execute the shift. What about the post-huddle debrief? Dr. Pete, I'm telling you, people are leaving 33% of the fruit on the ground.
Doc, hundreds of our coaching clients have grown their businesses following our Remarkable CEO program. Well, now it's your turn. We are kicking off a new cohort of Remarkable CEOs this month. Enrollment's limited, so don't delay. If you're ready to turn your job into a business, make a bigger impact, and a bigger income, the Remarkable CEO program is what you've been looking for. Go to theremarkablepractice.com/REM CEO to apply today.
So, you know, when I think about the debrief, it's all about the details. You know, as you were talking, Dr. Steven, I felt like my heart rate pick up a bit because I thought about how much effort and energy goes into putting on anything, a shift in your clinic. If you really do it right, any experience you're putting on for your patient base, it could be, you know, your weekly workshop. It could be more of a campaign type event that you're running on your marketing, internal marketing campaigns. It could be an external marketing experience, a workshop, a wellness workshop in a company, or you put on a dinner, or you do a weekend screening. It could be, for me, it was literally my weekly, even radio show. You know, it's whatever it is that you are doing and you are pouring yourself into this. And this is where it really, I think my heart rate went up, is because when you pour yourself into something, when you go all in, you actually, it would be very dysfunctional to not like check back in afterwards and see like, how did that
100%.
And so sometimes I feel like, and I'm not accusing anybody of this, but sometimes I feel like if you don't do this debrief, is it possible you did not go all in? Is it possible you really weren't planned and prepared and didn't execute to the level that is required to accomplish the outcome that is desired? Like, it is a checkpoint for you and for us to say, maybe I haven't been doing this. Maybe we haven't been doing the whole thing. You talked about the 33, but what about the other two stages, the planning and then the executing stage? Like, it's possible. I'm not accusing anyone. I'm more just stimulating a conversation around, like, it's important to audit, because in your audit, here's the thing. When you do the audit, the debrief, I should say, when you do the debrief, you actually debrief the pregame as well. So you actually debrief, how did we prepare? Would we prepare?
How was our plan
different? Yes. Was our planning and preparation process good? What would we do different? Think about, we talk about the because we have a PowerPoint deck that we use. You know, you all know that, because if you've been to our immersions, you know you're looking at a screen. Well, guess what? It doesn't just magically appear on the screen there, right? So we have meetings regularly about, for example, the cadence of the content and how that's being captured and organized and when it has to be done and by whom and all the things, right? So we meet about that. We meet about all the pregame in the debrief, what happened for the weeks leading up to the actual experience itself. And then even the post experience is debriefed on, like the things that happen after an event. And so there's so much there. And I just wondered, Dr. Steven, if like, are we really doing, are we being productive or busy? Are we doing movement or is it just motion? Right? Like, this is what we talk about, where the rubber actually hits the road. And this is one of those things where you talk about productivity, the difference between busy and productive. That's why a lot of people are like, we're not going to do that thing anymore, that event or whatever. I'm not going to do dinners anymore. I'm not going to do screens anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's like, wait, time out. Is that because we didn't do this? Because if you do this part, even if you give your grade a B or a C on how it turned out, you can turn that C into a B, that B into an A. You can make it better if you simply do this process. You can make everything better, and you will if you follow this process.
100%, man. And as you're describing that, you know, I get anxious, because what I'm hearing is what you're doing is you are adding another open cycle to your life. like that debrief closes the cycle, right? So it creates this accountability loop. And we all know that it's the accountability that takes the motion and turns it into movement, right? Yeah. So it's not, you're not spinning your wheels. You don't have wheel spin. You're actually having that level of accountability where you do a debrief and be like, okay, guys, how'd we do, right? Let's look back. We set goals coming into this thing. You know, we had a plan. We executed and we wanted outcomes. How did we do? Did we follow the plan? Did we execute well? Did we produce what were our outcomes, right? So we're assessing that, right? So there's accountability around that, huge accountability like that. And everybody in the room, if you establish this culture, knows this conversation's coming.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't do that, you know, the inverse is true. It's like, ah, you know what? We're never going to talk about this again. Monday morning's going to hit and we're just going to keep, you know, spinning. We're going to be spinning. It's going to be on to the next thing. On to the next thing. That's the entrepreneurial chant, right? The tyranny of busyness. You know, you got to be careful, guys, that it's like you've got to visualize, all right, it's time to get the last third. It's time to get the harvest. It's time to lean in and be like, let's do the debrief, right? And let's collect that. How do we do relative to our goals? What were our outcomes? What was everybody's takeaway, right? And where do we win? What do we learn? And then what are the action items that are coming from that? That's how you have a documented system and a process that everybody knows I'm going to be held accountable. We're going to close this loop. It's an accountability loop that becomes a cultural thing. And this becomes very real in your practice. Like if you brought your team to the immersion, you know, what is the first thing we say? And then we say it 10 times through the weekend. We give you this workbook to download in the last pages of the workbook. What is it? Takeaways and action steps, right? So why do we do that? Because that's the gold.
Yes.
That's the gold. We know we want you as a team. Let's say you've invested, you bring five of you, get on planes, hotels, meals, away from your families, butts in seats, all of that information. There's no way you're just going to mentally retain it. And there's one of two scenarios coming out of there. You've got a group of people that are going to go home on a Monday at team meeting or maybe Tuesday afternoon or the debrief meeting that week while it's still fresh and new. And everybody's going to pull out their workbooks and they're going to flip to the back page. Why do you think we put it in the back page? So easy to get to all through the weekend. And you as the owner, as the leader, as the CEO, you should have set the full expectation that we're going to harvest all of the fruit from the investment that we made together. And I expect, my expectation is that you're going to be coming back with a pile of ideas and thoughts and start doing this and stop doing this. Does anybody feel that? Yeah. Imagine the value of that if you brought those five people, including your own notes, by the way, Doc, right? So imagine that scenario versus business as usual on Monday.
Yeah.
We wake up, rub our eyes. Man, wasn't that an awesome weekend? High five. Thanks, guys, for being there. That was awesome. Phone rings. First patient walks through the door, and we're off to the races. So my question to you is, are you a consumer or are you an implementer? So are you going to the seminar for more information, or are you bringing your team to the seminar for transformation? So ultimately, what we're telling you is that this debrief process, whether we're talking about a massive undertaking like taking your entire team to a seminar weekend, or it's simply the daily post-shift huddle, don't leave a third of the fruit on the ground.
Cairo Matchmakers will help you find the right person for the job. If you're looking to hire the ideal chiropractic assistant, Cairo Matchmakers will help you find the specific person missing from your team so that you can get back to using your talents to serve more people. Or if you're looking to hire the ideal associate doctor, CMM can help. Cairo Matchmakers helps chiropractors like you find the ideal associate doctor to unlock your practice potential and get you the freedom that you desire. To learn more, go to chiromatchmakers.com.
Please stick around for more business insights from this week's bonus interview with our remarkable success partner dedicated to helping you more successfully help more people. Enjoy. All right, CEOs. So today I'm honored to be in the studio, virtual studio, with a new friend of mine, a colleague of all of ours, a chiropractor, a CEO, and someone who is clearly on the mission to help chiropractors help more people, Dr. Steve Tolias from Weightless Workshops. Doc Steve, thanks for taking the time to join with me here today for this special
expert interview. I'm looking forward to digging deep with you and helping our docs figure out how we can help reach more people. So welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Pete. It's great getting to know you. And I know we're on the same mission of helping the masses get more access to chiropractic care. So thanks for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wished that, you know, when I was actively in practice that what you did existed at the time. But I've always had a passion for doing workshops. And so it was a huge part of my practice, my entire career, as well as Dr. Franson as well. So I know this is something when we learned about what you were doing, we said, oh man, if we can align with this guy, this would be amazing. And then when we met, we were actually introduced through another CEO that we work with, Dr. Justin Brown down in Florida, and he connected us. And you know, from our first moment, it was like, yeah, we're supposed to work together. Let's figure this out. Let's get going. So you are a actual success partner, just so everyone who's listening understands. So in the Remarkable Practice, there are certain businesses that meet the standard of criteria of being a success partner, which basically means, hey, we are endorsing you. We are saying to our doctors that we get to work with, hey, you should strongly consider working with these people. This is their product or service. So that is what you do in the waitlist workshop. So we're going to get into the details of what you're doing now. But before we do, so I want the audience to know that's why you're here, and what you guys are doing is just awesome. So I'd love for you to give the audience a little bit of a story, a backstory about, you know, you and your journey, your chiropractic journey, and then also obviously into what you're doing now. In addition to everything you're doing in your chiropractic practices. So I'll let you kind of take the mic and run with it. And then I've got some questions I'd love to ask you here today.
Awesome. Thank you, Pete. I wish there had been something like what we have now for doctors. You know, it's basically a plug and play workshop marketing system. I built my practice off of workshops, and if you look at, you know, our profession, it's such a necessity to educate, right, the public. If they have a positive impression about chiropractic, they think it's primarily good for neck and back pain. So we have so much education that we have to do. So but I used to be deathly afraid of public speaking. You know, it was not my forte, but I knew at one point, I forget where I was listening to a speaker, and I realized finally that I didn't have the luxury of not standing up and speaking out, you know, with the information that we have as chiropractors. So I just started doing it. You know, I started doing them and I got really good at it, and others saw what I was doing and asked if I would do it for them. And that's how the whole company started. But really, you know, my story really goes back to my son too. My son at the age of 4 and a half developed something known as PANDAS or PANS, which is a pediatric encephalitis that causes a horrible life experience. And we didn't know what was going on with him at the time. Spent years trying to figure that out, but in the process got really into this neurodevelopmental world. And that's where my practice really started to focus. I started doing talks around neurodevelopment. And that's when colleagues saw this, where we were regularly getting, you know, 15, 20 people to my talks every month. And we started doing that in multiple areas. So We then branched out into other topics. Everything I do, I want the public to really understand what chiropractic is. You know, that it can help the sick get well, and you know, help not only help them get well, but help us all, like all the chiropractors listening, you know, really experience optimal potential too. So we started to branch into other topics like mental health, which is really, you know, a massive topic for society, especially after what COVID did to our nation and the world, and into like autoimmune, you know, epilepsy, you know, really some of the big challenges that our profession always used to, you know, address. And really arguably is probably the reason why we still are around, because of the miracle, you know, quote, miracle cases that we used to always help, but because of insurance and other factors, you know, our profession got railroaded and pigeonholed into musculoskeletal only. So that's a quick rundown of who I am and my mission and how my practice then evolved, you know, to having this company that helps doctors put on workshops too.
Beautiful. You know, one of the questions I was going to ask you was in regards to, you know, what problems you solve. And I love hearing your story. First of all, you know, I didn't know that about you and your family with your son. And that's, you know, I know that's been a lot just for you to walk through. And obviously we're not going to that's not our topic for today, but just from a father's perspective, I love speaking to men, fathers, parents, how you navigate things like that while you're also running a practice. You know, there's a lot of layers that, but here's the cool thing, which I love about your story is that, you know, you were able to allow the issue, the challenge, the problem that you were navigating, actually you used it as a catalyst to then help reach more people. And you didn't go internal, you went outside of yourself, which is really awesome. And I'm so thankful and grateful that you did that, that you allowed this challenge that you faced, which you had to navigate personally, but you allowed that to ignite within you the fire that you wanted to go now and reach more people, and then using the platform and getting out of your comfort zone. You know, like you clearly said, you know, this wasn't like something my strength. I didn't come out like, oh, I love speaking. And actually I don't, but it needs to be done. And, you know, that I love the genesis of this whole story and where it started from, and now to see what's happening. Cause I actually have multiple doctors that I work with personally who are using the service of Weightless Workshops to grow their practices, make a bigger impact, reach in the community. And it's unbelievable. It's so amazing. And I'm so fired up about it. So thank you for that. And just awesome story. And I'm loving the fact that you are now impacting exponentially because of your response to the need. So every business exists to solve a problem, right? And you are solving a problem. So you've identified specific issues in the communities where chiropractors serve, where we can actually reach and be the voice and become the expert, the authority. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, so let's say I'm listening to this, I'm a CEO and I don't do a lot of external marketing talks. We've never really done them. Or maybe we did them in the past, we haven't done it, especially since the pandemic, something like that.
Right.
So speak to me a little bit about the problem, you know, that your business Weightless Workshop is solving. So there's obviously multiple things, but let's just kind of summarize it. Like, here are the issues and here's how we solve it. So yeah.
One of the biggest challenges in chiropractic right now, which is bringing in really high quality leads. You know, there's a lot of systems out there that bring in, you know, people who may be underqualified or tire kickers and things like that. And so that's one problem we solve. We bring people right to the doctor. All they have to do is give us a time, date, and location and be ready to speak to a room full of people. Now, the second component of that, and this is what I get excited about, right? Is that it's attracting people with these massive needs, right? So the three core topics of types of people we address, those three topics actually represent 65% of our nation, right? Issues with neurodevelopment. So autism, sensory processing disorder, ADHD, anxiety, you know, mental health, anxiety, depression, PTSD, and autoimmune issues, fibromyalgia, MS, you know, all these chronic diseases, you know, and we don't position it in a treatment perspective. All of it's presented in a subluxation-based, philosophically centered, salutogenic perspective. But those three core workshops that our doctors are giving actually represent 65% of our nation, right? So what I always tell people is that there's no shortage of sick people, right?
Yep.
Unfortunately, there's a massive need. However, there's no demand, right? For us, right? There's a demand for the medics down the street, but so what we're doing is we're trying to flip the whole script, right? And change it and create a demand for a massive need out there and funnel people into the chiropractic setting. And the beautiful, the next piece that I love about this, and this is why I did a focus on these topics in my practice too, is because when people start hearing about how chiropractic helps a child begin to speak who wasn't speaking, or helped an individual who had crippling anxiety, helped their anxiety go away, or someone who had seizures, helped their seizures go away, that completely flips the script of chiropractic being about neck pain and back pain and brings it into the realm of the nervous system and where we really shine. So I believe, just like I know you do, that chiropractic could transform the whole socioeconomic power struggle of humanity, right? And if we could get the big idea actualized, boy, what a different world it would be. So that's the big purpose. I know I went off a little bit, but in terms of what we solve, we help bring in high quality leads and help bring people that helps the chiropractor gain more certainty and confidence as they see the miracles that are happening. And they also give them just a whole lot more satisfaction in practice. Not that there's not satisfaction in helping people with, you know, neck pain and back pain and these problems. But I know in talking with many docs over the years that they want to be seen more of the quote unquote miracle cases. They want these people, but they just don't know how to attract them. We developed a system that beautifully attracts these people into practices and helps doctors, you know, get to really experience that of joy and beauty of practice.
Well, I love that you let it rip there. I like that you went off for a minute. So thank you for that. This is a perfect platform for you to kind of loosen the gaskets a little bit and let it go. I appreciate that and your passion. So thank you. And it was crystal clear. And I didn't know some of those numbers. I know that we have obviously a chronically diseased nation, but the fact that you've chosen specific topics that'll hit north of 60% of anyone's population in the surrounding area is, and to bring in that high quality lead to meet the doctor, and then they get to see you and they see you immediately as the experts and the authority and a voice from a totally different angle, which they probably never heard before from all the other docs they've been seeing and hearing. So, wow, that's just so cool. And I love that. And being someone who did a lot of talks myself, but also coming out of school, didn't feel like I should speak or had any gift or any desires. I was actually afraid of that. That was something I had a fear of, like everybody says, but I actually did. That was significant. So to hear you say that you could do that, because that's always the hardest thing, butts in seats, right? That was always the challenge for me and my team was always, hey, we're going to do this, but we got to get butts in seats. And so I love that. So, you know, obviously, you know, we're talking business here. So CEOs on the other side of the line. So talk a little bit about what we're seeing numbers wise. I know you've done a lot of workshops, but talk a little bit about docs that you say, hey, all right, we're going to hire you, doc. We want to work with waitlist. What kind of things are we seeing? Just, you know, general numbers, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, but you know, what kind of things are we seeing as far as, you know, attendance, getting to workshops? What's the ideal numbers? What are we looking at? Are you guys tracking at all the number of conversions, people booking appointments, and then people actually getting started in care? And then even further than that, the outcomes. It's all about results, like you said, the miracle stories. Well, we don't have to go all the way that far down the line, but like ROI, just attendance to booking. And then, you know, once they book, they come in, they see him. Talk me through just a little bit of like, what can a doctor expect? Like, what are some of the things you're seeing in 2023?
Yeah. So, you know, we've helped doctors give over 6,000 workshops. So we have lots of data. Our averages now, and they keep improving because the longer we do this, the better we get at it too. So right now we're averaging 45 leads per workshop. Now we have a lot of docs, even just like last week, had 100, 91, 78. So, but we know that the average is going to be north of 45. We, based upon show rates will be between 20 to 30%. And that's been consistent for the last 8 years that we've been doing this. It will be more in certain regions of the country. So, but that 20 to 30%, we know is where it's going to be. So based upon those numbers, we know that somewhere between 10 to 15 people will be in attendance. Now, just last week in my office, I had 24 in attendance and I scheduled 17 new patients. You know, it was a fantastic event. I'm looking at some survey results from, because we have our docs fill out a survey the following day. And so we see docs here, 22 in attendance, 9 new patients, 26 in attendance, 13 new patients. We know that average doc is, you know, on all of our workshops, average number of new patients is going to be 5. Now, we know that the docs that are doing the best have the best systems already. That's why we see docs like yours, Dr. Justin Brown, and others who are getting coaching, have been through and done a lot of work in other, you know, areas. They're getting the best results. They're the best closers. They're getting the best signups. But even in our entire system, though, the average doc will have 5 new patients. So based upon that and a case average of 3,000, which is pretty conservative, then they're looking at an average return on investment of 4 to 7 times. A doc like myself, or, you know, is really experienced, or Justin Brown or others who are consistently getting double digit new patients, and that's definitely possible with a workshop system like this, they're typically seeing somewhere around 9 to 12 X returns. So this is why, you know, I used to have a website company as well. And we did search engine optimization and we did some other things. Once we really got everything nailed down with workshops, we just stopped doing every other type of marketing because the return on investment was so much more effective with workshop marketing, because you're bringing high quality people. and they're sitting down in front of you for an hour. At that point, you know, once they say yes to an exam, they've already bought. I found most docs typically are actually messing up by trying to still sell that person once they've come to the exam. Once they've signed up for an exam and gone through your talk, now we just need to do the exam and tell them, well, here's what's next. Unfortunately, a lot of times, sometimes docs are trying to sell people afterwards, but they've already bought and they end up selling them out of care a lot of times.
I can feel that and see that happening. So really, really important point. You know, I'll make a point that's, I think, really relevant too, especially for our CEOs listening as an example. So I know that some of the CEOs that we work with who are using waitlist workshops aren't even the ones doing the talk. They have an associate doctor or another expert on their team actually could be delivering the talk. So think about you're leveraging waitlist workshops to help bring high quality leads. And then another team member from your team who is energized around doing the talks, if you wanted, can actually deliver the talk. And so it's just, to me, it's an incredible point, a leverage point to leverage an expert like you and waitlist workshops to actually help you organize the right topic and get the people, you know, butts in seats and doing all that. And then the deliverable of the actual talk itself, you can do it, but you can also outsource that. If you're listening, and a lot of our CEOs are thinking through this, like, how do we do this? We have multiple locations and things like that. It's like, yeah, you can do that 100%. And so I love that. And that's a big deal. And then, so continuing with this, so I want to talk about the future, because you just talked about it when you talked about the website. And then you said, wait a second, like, I want to put all my energy here. So we just came through the pandemic. And when we went through the pandemic, I know for us, we were, you know, we had to scramble because so many of our marketing strategies were external marketing. And right. Then all of a sudden, you know, shut down worldwide. And so, you know, now that things have opened back up, and people are starting to like dip their toe in doing outside things again, it's amazing how slow like that people have just begun getting those going again. Docs, this is an incredible way for you to immediately get back into the marketplace and do that. So can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing as far as real time, like now, because you gave some numbers, but also in the future, as you think about, you know, the tech, everything that's going on with technology and artificial intelligence and all these things, and the relevance of actually being in the community physically in front of people doing this. Can you talk about what you see in the future and how you see teaching and workshops and these things in the future, not just even in the present? Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have done a lot of thought around this and consulted with different thought leaders, you know, around that topic. Clearly, we saw after the pandemic, we clearly saw an increase in desire of people to get out and be doing things in person. Now, I will just share that throughout the pandemic, we actually grew considerably because while a lot of things went away, workshops didn't go away, you know, because even though people were afraid to go out, no one was going to attack a doctor for trying to help some of the sickest of the sick. People that were in crisis far before that planned crisis ever showed up. So our docs actually did really well during the pandemic using workshops. Now, with the future, with AI being so prevalent and people not being sure what they can trust, both in video and image format and everything, you're going to find that people are going to really want to be in person, in front of a real person, so that they can see and hear that person and know that what they're hearing and seeing is something that's actually trustworthy. So our feelings, and based upon what we're seeing and hearing from a lot of people in the AI industry too, is that people are going to really demand more of this and want more of in-person connection when we get more and more into this AI-driven, you know, society.
I love it. And I'm in agreement. I feel that way. And I have also witnessed that in my own personal journey and in others, that whether it's personally or professionally. And I did not know that, but it makes a whole lot of sense now, what you just said about the fact that we grew during the pandemic doing workshops. That's awesome. I love that. I think it's a point that needs to be noted. So no matter what comes our way from a health craziness perspective and economic craziness perspective, the relevance of an expert, an authority speaking on a topic that's important, very important to me, and me being able to meet you in person so I can see who is this person, can I trust them? All of that can be accomplished with this one mechanism, this strategy, which I absolutely love. So I could keep talking. We could go on and on. I know that our docs can get in contact with you and have more conversations specifically. So let's do that. So what's the best way for, you know, anybody who's listening to this to learn more, get in contact with you, or even take a next step? What's the best next step, Stop?
Yeah. So the next best step is to go to our website and set up a call so we can chat. So our website is www.waitlistworkshops.com. There's a calendar to set up a call to see if this is a good fit. And for anyone, I know this because we've been chatting. I know many of your doctors who are in your program. I know what you guys represent with your coaching. I know that the majority of anyone listening to this actually is probably one of the best fits for our prep, for what we do. And we want docs who are fired up, who are subluxation based, who want to transform their community, not just their communities, but the world. And so that's what we're looking for. We don't want to just fill zip codes. Like, that's not what our objective is. Waitlistworkshops.com. I'm super accessible. So shoot me a DM on Instagram or Facebook, Steve Tullius, and would love to meet and chat and see how we can help, you help even more people out there.
Amen. Well, Steve, thanks for joining me. Thanks for taking the time today to meet with me and to be an expert guest on our Remarkable CEO podcast. We highly value being able to speak with you and to have your expertise here. Thank you for being a remarkable success partner as well. And looking forward to continue to serve and grow with you and help more doctors, help more people. So, and for all of you who are listening, thanks for tuning in. This is another episode of the Remarkable CEO podcast. Until next week, take care and God bless.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Remarkable CEO podcast. Remember, what the world needs now is chiropractic, and what chiropractic needs now is more successful chiropractors. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. And if you'd like to connect with us personally, direct message us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Now go and be remarkable.